Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
The Boilermakers come off the bye week looking for their third straight win and do so as a road favorite at Illinois. I'm Kyle Charters. Matt Stevens and Brian Newbert here as well. We'll talk some football with Matt, then hit preseason basketball with Brian on Gold and Black Radio. All right, Matt, let's get right to it with some football talk. The Boilermakers 2-3 on the road this week following the bye week at 3-2 Illinois. The Illini off a road victory at Rutgers, the Scarlet Knights. To say the least, not very good, but Illinois gets a win. Well, let's focus on Purdue first before we talk a little bit about the Illini. Purdue's bye week, I usually feel like there's like a reason, like a good reason for when the bye comes, right? Like a team needs to rest up because of injury, or team needs to reload because it's coming off a loss, or, you know, something like that. In this particular instance, though, I feel like the bye week didn't really come at a good time for Purdue. They had been rolling a little bit and wanted to keep it going. So what was the focus for the Boilermakers here over the last week?
Yeah, I feel like Purdue would have rather just found a community college to go play on Saturday just to keep themselves sharp. If your name's not Cole Herdman right now, I don't think you really wanted the bye week at all. Because I don't think there's any injury issues that are long, that are short-term enough that the bye week would have helped, or long-term enough that it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So, I mean, I think Purdue's pretty healthy going into the bye, which was kind of nice. Again, if your name's not Cole Herdman, but if Purdue had its druthers about it, I think they would have wanted to continue playing just because of the role that they are on offensively. And obviously if you play for Jeff Brohm, you know, you can always get better on that side of the ball in his mind. He has a very, very high bar for this offense, but the way that that David Blau and this Purdue offense had been rolling, I thought they ran the ball at a more consistent level, a more physical level than they had all season 2 weeks ago against Nebraska. And so what I really think is Purdue at 2-3 gets to do a lot of self-scouting right now, and basically Jeff Brohm gets to sit in front of a conference table and say, boys, if Purdue was on our schedule next week, how would we beat them? And I think that there's a lot to that, but I also think that they got a lot of time off. I think they had two NFL style practices pretty much without pads for most of the veterans earlier last week. And I get the sense that Purdue is going to be more refreshed coming into this week against Illinois, but I don't think the normal fan reaction of, well, you had 2 weeks to prepare for Illinois, really applies to Purdue. I really think they took this past week to get a couple of guys a little bit more healthy, but really to just kind of get their mind off of what they've got to accomplish over this next 2 month stretch. And I think it's going to be a really, really, rigorous 2 month stretch for this Purdue football program to achieve the goals that they want to achieve.
Last time out, Purdue's offense put up 42 points, but I left that game feeling like Purdue actually left a couple of points on the board. It could stand to be a little bit better in the red zone, and it had several drops during that game. When you talk about the offense and trying to get better and, you know, Jeff Brohm feeling like there's still more room there, are those the kind of things you're referring to?
More than a couple points. I mean, I feel like on drives in which ended with a field goal, or drives that have ended, we can go all the way back to the Boston College game, where drives that have ended in sacks where David Blau has taken the team out of field goal range when they have started in the red zone. Those have been key drives that have been stalled for Purdue and have really left, you know, a lot of points on the board, essentially. Purdue, up to last week before this past Saturday's games, was top, near the top in the Big Ten in possessions in the red zone this year, and that was shocking to me that they were up as high as Penn State and Ohio State in those types of possessions. But they're also worse than the Big Ten in terms of touchdown percentage in those situations, and that's not at all where Jeff Brohm wants to be. He does not want to be kicking field goals and doesn't want to be debating whether or not he has to go for it or punt from his own 45 once they get into those types of situations. So there's going to be a lot of emphasis on how they do when it gets a little bit tighter inside the 20s, but also I think that you saw against Nebraska, there was one-on-one routes that Purdue didn't win. They didn't necessarily lose them because it ended in an incompletion, but Jeff Brohm sees those as losses. And whether they're drops or whether they're just deep balls that aren't being caught that are contested one-on-one routes, Purdue needs to win more of those. That's the high bar that I'm talking about that Jeff Brohm has with this offense. And so whether it's Jared Sparks or Isaac Zico or Terry Wright on the outside, when they throw that fade route, which is a one-on-one, a lot of the time it's not a terrible throw by David Blau, and it's a ball that the wide receivers need to go, you know, make an athletic move to go get a catch. And so I think that's going to be a major emphasis this week, that they feel like Illinois is going to play a lot similar to, you know, how they've been played against, you know, Nebraska and Boston College, and quite honestly against Missouri, you know, a lot of odd against what they did against Missouri defensively. They're going to see that this weekend in Champaign against Illinois, which means that there's going to be one-on-one opportunities for David Blau to complete those deep passes. Purdue's got a lot of deep completions. They've got a lot of big plays, a lot more big plays this year on offense. A lot of that has to do with the addition of Rondell Moore, but they need more out of guys whose name isn't Rondell Moore. And again, I point out, you know, again, Isaac Zico, Jared Sparks, Terry Wright, and I only point them out because they're the outside receivers that really need to start making more plays, not some plays. They have been making some plays. They need to be making more plays again, because I talk about that high bar that Jeff Brohm has for this offense. Defenses are going to get smarter. They're going to get they have guys on scholarship too, and those coaches get paid. And so when Purdue is off this week, there's a lot of coaches right now that are looking at how do we stop Purdue, because there's going to be some really good defenses that come throughout this last 2 month stretch that Purdue's going to have to score points against.
An early look at what I feel like is going to be a big matchup on Saturday, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it as the week goes on, is Illinois' running game against Purdue's rush defense. Because of how Illinois likes to run the ball, they will spread out a little bit, run the quarterback. Obviously, as A.J. Bush had more than 100 yards at Rutgers. Another running back had more than 100. Their third guy had about 70. So Illini ran for about 300 yards against the Scarlet Knights. That's going to be an area and sort of a yet another different kind of test, right, for Purdue's defense to see whether it can at least slow down the Illini on the ground and force A.J. Bush to throw the ball a little bit more than maybe Illinois wants him to.
You know, it's going to be another test. I don't know if it's going to be a different test, because, Kyle, I think Purdue saw this 2 weeks ago in Lincoln, Nebraska right now. And I think they're using that as an example of this is how we have to go about defending this better. And they're not using the Nebraska example per se, but they're saying, hey, Adrian Martinez almost had 100 yards on the ground, and that can't happen. And Nick Holt said that, I think, late this past week, that we cannot allow that to happen. And if A.J. Bush is allowed for that to happen, then Illinois is going to be able to hang around and possibly win this game at home. That's going to be a major emphasis. I don't know if Purdue, man for man, doesn't think that they can stop Illinois' running backs. I think that they feel like after stopping A.J. Dillon the way they did, granted a different system that Boston College was running,
right,
but they feel like they can stop one of the nation's best. Their major concern is if we have to slow down the quarterback run and do some things defensively in order to get adjustments to make that happen, then we're in trouble. And I think that's going to be their main emphasis. I think their two main running backs, and I've been amazingly impressed with them, including it seems like Mike Epstein has some help now in that backfield.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Purdue's emphasis is going to be they're going to get their yards. We don't need them to have 200-yard games, but they're going to get a significant amount of yards. A.J. Bush has somewhere around 0 yards rushing, including his sacks that go into the rushing category. Purdue thinks they're going to win the football game. I feel like Nick Holt feels like they're going to get off the field at that point. And if they make him throw the football, just like they made Adrian Martinez throw the football late in the game in order to win, then Purdue is going to be in a good situation. I think that's going to be their defensive plan. But they need to, you know, react differently to tempo than they did against Nebraska. And I would look at the second and the third quarter in Nebraska, and that's how Purdue has to play this tempo type offense in order to be successful.
At the top of the podcast, we talked about injuries and how that's usually a big storyline during a bye week, but as you pointed out, it's basically Cole Herdman, right? There's nothing much else that needs to be talked about in terms of injuries, which is good for Purdue. What is the status of Herdman, you think? I know it'll probably be asked, if not by you, by somebody else, during Jeff Brohm's press conference today. But what do you think? Could Herdman be back out there on Saturday for Purdue?
Well, I don't think there's any reason for him to not be. Jeff Brohm keeps calling these stingers. I don't know anymore in today's football lingo. I don't know what that means. Is that a concussion? Is that a neck deal? Is that what is that? All we know is that there's an upper body issue, and it's essentially above the shoulders for Cole Herdman. He has basically been in non-contact jerseys for the last few weeks, as far as we understand it. And I think that's what Jeff Brohm said last week when we asked him about Cole Herdman, and he ended up starting and playing. So I think they're just trying to keep him as healthy as possible throughout the week, and then going out and figuring out how effective he's going to be on game day. The good news is that Bryson Hopkins has developed into more than just a one-trick pony, in the sense that they feel like they can play him in the run game and still be effective. They feel like they can play him in pass protection and be effective. That's his most weakest, is pass protection. But he was very effective early on in the Nebraska game in the run game. He made two great blocks on DJ Knox's 42-yard touchdown run and on that first possession for Purdue. So they have depth at tight end. They also have Darius Pittman, who played a lot in Lincoln, and they feel like can play right now. And so I'm not saying Cole Herdman wouldn't be a loss. I'm just saying they feel good about being able to manage him throughout the week of practice and still have enough tight end depth to, one, make practice effective, and two, have some guys behind Cole Herdman if they need to limit his amount of snaps in a game. So I think that they would love to wrap Cole Herdman in bubble wrap throughout the rest of the year in practice and see what he can give them on Saturdays.
Yeah. Well, we'll look for your update on the site on that and much more later on today at goldenblack.com. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, let's take a break. We'll bring in Brian Newbert. We'll talk a little bit of preseason basketball. We'll do that and more coming up on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill, near the corner of 10th and Main Streets in downtown Lafayette. Welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And Brian Newbert in to talk a little bit of preseason basketball. The Boilermakers practicing now, believe it or not, practicing already. Man, that started earlier than ever, right? It feels like. Was it the earliest start date that you can remember for practices, Brian?
You know, I don't remember like 48 hours ago, let alone past years. So I don't know. It doesn't matter. Because, you know, they're practicing together all summer anyway. So when they actually get to say, hey, this practice is official, it really makes very, very little difference. And, you know, I think the last couple of years, too, really didn't matter all that much anyway, because Purdue had the trip to Spain a couple years ago, and then they had the World University Games last year too. So saying this is the first day of practice, we've started practice, was absolutely absurd. But this is a pretty unique offseason for Purdue, or was a unique offseason for Purdue, simply in the sense that they haven't had an offseason in a couple of years. This they're in a different situation than they have been, because they actually got an entire summer in the weight room, speed training, whatever else. So I guess it'll be interesting to see if that has any bearing on this team up front anyway, because they do have some guys, much more so than the past couple of years, who really needed to make some strides from a physical perspective, whether it be the incoming freshmen, whether it be any of the returnees, size, strength, speed, stuff like that. So that will be kind of an interesting story too, to see if any of these guys benefited from actually having an off season in their training program, which they haven't in a couple of years now.
I think a lot of people are intrigued, myself included, about this Purdue team, because it feels like it's a team that has a lot of upside. And maybe I feel that way because I think there are a lot of unknowns at this point. Is this one of the, from the teams you've covered here recently, or maybe when's the last one that you felt like there have been sort of this many unknowns about a Purdue team? Because, you know, recently you've sort of known all the personnel a little bit, or at least a lot of it. And this year, even though you know these guys and have seen them to a certain extent, a bunch of them are going to rise into bigger roles. So does that add some different elements to this team that you sort of feel like you don't know exactly what sort of product they're going to put on the court?
Yeah, I think this is the most intriguing season since probably 2014, simply because ever since then they've been a known commodity every single year. They've basically been the same team.
Yeah.
Now, I say that knowing in the middle of that window there was Caleb Swanigan, and they introduced him to an established core, and then obviously they brought in Carson Edwards toward the back end of that window too, and those were two very influential newcomers being introduced into that established. They've never torn down personnel-wise like they are this year. Obviously, they have some they have one very influential player back, in particular, obviously, that being Carson Edwards, and a couple of young guys who kind of played important roles but lesser roles last season with so many veterans around them. Now this isn't just about new faces coming into the mix. This is about guys from one year to the next getting better. And Purdue now, it's been 2 years in a row Purdue's had a sophomore go from not even being all Big Ten to being an All-American. I wouldn't anticipate that happening this year, but obviously with Matt Harms and Nojel Eastern, those are two second-year players Purdue really expects big things from and desperately needs big things from. It's not just the personnel, though. It's what how the personnel fits. This is going to be an entirely different-looking team, because the things that define the past couple teams have changed now. They don't have that starting point presence on the interior. They are still going to use the post around the basket. They're still going to give the ball to Matt Harms on post-ups and stuff like that, but they are not going to be that team that just physically trucks you to the basket, looks into the post first, second, third, plays off of that.
Yeah.
They're going to be much more guard-oriented. They're going to be much more dribble-oriented. They're going to be much faster. They're going to be much more dynamic. And I need to clarify up front, by dynamic, I don't mean productive. I don't mean they're going to be dominant offensively. I mean, by dynamic, I mean they're going to be much more movement-based. They're going to be much more active, I should say, at both ends of the floor. So it is very different personnel-wise, and the very different personnel is going to lead to, I think, a very different looking style of play than people have been used to for quite a while now. It's been several years now that Purdue basically played the same way, too. It was the same players from one year to the next, but also pretty much the same basketball.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it to me that I'm interested in, because, as you said, it's sort of first, second, third look, all have been into the post, not on every possession, but, you know, within reason, that's what Purdue has tried to do. You just can't help but feel like it's going to be different. What does that look like, you think? I mean, you say, well, maybe they'll run more. Well, they scored a lot in the past, you know, believe it or not.
Right.
Despite what you might hear in negative recruiting, Purdue does score the basketball. But what will that look like? I mean, motion, obviously, perhaps some ISOs with pick and rolls. What all do you think Purdue will do offensively to sort of highlight the skills that Carson Edwards and others have?
Well, they have always wanted to push the ball in transition, even when they were big. Now it's just a matter of maybe being even more, perhaps being a little bit better at it, perhaps being a little bit faster, perhaps changing ends a lot quicker. You don't have to wait for the center to get down the floor now, for one thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, Carson Edwards leads a fast break as well as any guard in the country. In the half court, I think it's probably – you probably run more screens for Carson Edwards. You probably play off of that. That's also Matt Harm's offensive strength too, is kind of the roll and dive stuff. And if he and Evan Boudreau, between the two of them at center, can make jump shots, and that's part of their realm of possibility, that could open up a lot of different things too for a group of guards who are much more dribble oriented, I think, than Purdue's had in years past. Obviously, Carson Edwards being one of them, Nojel Easton being another. I just think almost everything profile wise about this group offensively and defensively is just totally different.
Yeah. Fan day on Saturday, a little bit of a scrimmage there. Anything in particular that you are focused on looking for? A lot of things.
I want to see Aaron Wheeler play.
Yeah.
We've seen him play before, but you get such mixed messages about him. It's always he looks really, really good in practice. He does a lot of really positive things in practice. He's maybe the best athlete on the team. He can really shoot the ball for being 6'9", long and athletic, which obviously is really intriguing. But then on the other side of the coin, it's always, well, we don't know where he fits in. We don't know what position he plays. We don't know what his niche is. But he's really good in practice. He does really positive things. I just want to kind of see for myself. I've seen him practice.
Right.
I watch him practice. I leave practice saying, I don't know where he fits in either. So I just kind of want to see him play in a game. You know, he's not played in a game basically since the World University Games last year and didn't get a whole lot of playing time there. But when he did, you saw how athletic he was. You saw some of the positive things he can do. He's a guy who I think probably if he is ready to help them with his athleticism and his kind of physical gifts, really fits well into that narrative of this is a much faster, this is a much more athletic team. His length, athleticism,
right,
speed can really help them from a defensive perspective too. And I just want to see how ready he is to actually help them in some sort of capacity, because right now I have no idea where he fits in either.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see him and many others on this team. No doubt about it. You could sort of go down the list, right, of guys you're sort of interested in seeing the growth that they've made from maybe last year to this, or, you know, seeing for the first time, or who redshirting or what have you. I mean, it seems like there's a handful of those kind of guys on this team that makes, you know, Saturday and then the early season sort of more intriguing than what we've been used to.
Correct. Eric Hunter, too.
I mean,
they are going to need big minutes from Eric Hunter this year. They're going to need veteran-type play from Eric Hunter, because from a depth chart perspective, he's just really important right away. And he's going to play some point guard for them. And it's just – you just want to see how ready he is, both from a physical perspective and from a mental perspective. That's always a huge adjustment for freshmen. And he's going to have to kind of make it ready or not. So that's
right.
Another one. The two freshmen, big men, too, you don't know necessarily where they fit in right away. I think they're going to play Evan Boudreau as their backup five as of right now. One of those guys, though, is going to have to give them good minutes. They both have questions about them. Trevion Williams has to change his body, as he well knows. Emmanuel Dewona obviously hasn't played basketball very long. He has to refine his skill level to a certain extent. which one of those guys plays for them this year, which one of those guys plays an important role for them this year. Obviously, that's something that's going to play out through the course of preseason practice, but it will be interesting to see where they are at this point of that process.
Right. Well, much more preseason basketball on the site at goldandblack.com. I'm sure there'll be some from Fan Day as well on Saturday. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back to put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahms squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. All right, that'll wrap for our Golden Black Radio podcast for this week as Purdue gets set to take on Illinois on Saturday. Much more on the site at goldenblack.com. Also preseason basketball as well, and be sure to check out Golden Black Radio Express, now delivered in the same fashion as this podcast. And we'll have the pregame show ahead of the game at Illinois at 11 o'clock on Friday. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. And thanks to our sponsors, as always, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at Rebank Stability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. For Matt Stevens and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.